Amen. Well, we'll just get into it. You guys can maybe see the second half. I don't know. So we're in the middle of a series called Blessed Beyond Measure. And this is a Thanksgiving series. It's themed for Thanksgiving. As we get closer to Thanksgiving, the point of this series is to cultivate more gratitude for blessings that we typically would take for granted. Now, some of us are more blessed in areas than others. Some of us can sing, some of us can't. Some of us can, you know, play instruments, some can't. Some of us are athletic, some aren't. I haven't been able to touch my toes since probably middle school, you know. Some of us are blessed with things that others aren't, and that's okay. But this series is more about what the blessings that we share in common. So the first week of this series, we talked about the blessing of salvation. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about the blessing of relationship, and today we're going to talk about the blessing of provision. Now, provision is something that we are all blessed with quite a bit in our day-to-day lives, right? We need provision in almost every way to live. To breathe, we need provided air, right? Anybody ever made air before? Not passed wind or broke wind, but made air? No, of course you haven't, right? It's made for us. To eat, we need provided with food. To drink, we need provided with water or liquids. To be warm and protected, we need provided clothes. To drive, we need provided a car. To sleep, ideally, we need provided a bed. You see where I'm going? Provision is a big deal. And now the good thing for us is that we have a God who provides. He always has and always will. Think of Abraham and Isaac, and God provides the ram for the sacrifice. Or think of when God provided all these plagues so that the Israelites could escape Egypt. And then when they're wandering in the desert, he provides manna and quail every day for them to eat for like 40 years. God has always provided. He's always been a God of provision. And the good news for us is that God's provision doesn't just stop at the recorded events of Scripture. There's so many instances of God's provision throughout history as well. Back in the 1800s, there was a guy named George Mueller. Now, he was a Christian missionary and a director of orphanages in Bristol, England. And he did this throughout the 19th century. So when Mueller first began taking care of orphans, he had almost no resources. But the cool thing about him is he took this very bold stance and said he would never make his needs known to anyone except for God in prayer. Now, over his lifetime, he cared for more than 10,000 orphans. He built 5 large orphanages, all of it funded through unsolicited donations, meaning he didn't ask for a dime. But there's one well-known story from his ministry that kind of highlights God's provision in his ministry. It says, one morning, there were children all dressed and ready for school, but there was no food in the orphanage. So Mueller gathered all 300 children into the dining hall and told them to sit at the tables. Then he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank you for what you are going to give us to eat." There was no food in sight, but before he finished praying, there's a knock at the door. A local baker shows up and he says, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. I felt the Lord telling me to bake bread for you and the kids. So I got up early and made enough for everyone to eat." Moments later, another knock came, and it was the milkman, and his cart had broken down in front of the orphanage, and the milk was going to spoil before he could get someone there to fix it. So he offered it all to the children. That morning, every child had plenty to eat. So, not just in Scripture, and not just throughout history, we see countless stories of God's provision. The reality is we experience God's provision every day. Have you ever had that check come in the mail unexpectedly? Right about the time you were thinking, "I don't know. I don't know if we're going to make it this month." 2 different times that's happened to us. We've had a situation where money got really tight and then all of a sudden an escrow check shows up in the mail that we had no idea we were getting. Or maybe you got that text or that phone call at just the right time from a friend when you needed it. God is constantly providing for us. As far as blessings go, provision is probably the easiest one to express gratitude for. Yet, Sometimes we act like it never happened, right? We forget so quickly that God actually provided in that situation. And the proof that we forget about provision is worry. We worry about situations that we know God has provided for in the past, as if he just didn't do it. And this isn't a new thing. This is a very human thing. And in fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gives a sermon to a crowd, it says, a crowd. And there's a few times in Jesus' ministry that a crowd is referred to of up to 15,000 people. So this group he is speaking to, it could be a few hundred, it could be a few thousand. Either way, Jesus is in front of this crowd and he starts teaching them in what would become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And so this sermon spans from Matthew 5 to Matthew 7. It's three chapters long. And Jesus preaches about a multitude of things. If you've ever read it, he teaches about the Beatitudes. He covers law, murder, revenge, adultery, divorce, oaths, loving your enemy, giving to the poor, prayer, fasting, eternal treasures, true and false disciples, the narrow gate, and judging others, to name a few. It's a long sermon. It's a short sermon, but it covers a lot of stuff. There's probably some other stuff that I missed too. And I would encourage you to read it. Just read it in its entirety. And actually do that often. Really, the Sermon on the Mount is something you could read every week for the rest of your life, and you'd be better off for it. But out of our passage today, it's right at the end of chapter 6, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And it covers worry. But it also covers this solution to worry. It talks about provision. So our passage is Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and we're going to break it into chunks like we normally do. The first part is we're going to call a call away from worry. This is one verse, the first verse of the passage. Jesus says this, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes?" So, this passage right away starts with a therefore, which tells us that he's speaking in response to what he said earlier. Now, right before this, Jesus is talking about treasures in heaven, and the line that he ends that section on is, "You cannot serve both God and money." And so this is the how. Jesus is saying, you can't serve both God and money, therefore don't worry about your life and your clothes and your body and all these things. Now, this seems pretty dismissive, right? Don't worry about, you know, just everything that you need to live. That doesn't seem very fair, does it? I think it's pretty easy for Jesus to say, I'm the one down here trying to survive this life that I've been put in, right? It's easy to think that way. But let's be honest, we're pretty comfortable, right? It's probably even easier for Jesus' original audience to think this way. The people in the crowd that were listening to Jesus. I think survival was probably much more on their minds than it is on ours. So what Jesus is doing here is he's not dismissing our needs, but he's redefining them. He's showing us that life is about more than just survival. Or in other words, God has these survival needs covered. Jesus is asking us to participate in this kingdom of heaven that he's introducing to the world. So if we refuse to participate in this kingdom life now, worry is all we're going to know. It will always be sort of that scarcity mindset, or our immediate needs are always going to be our first concern. But Jesus is saying life is more than just survival. It's about living in the kingdom right now. Think about when you give a toddler a piece of candy, right? There's hardly anything you can do to get that toddler to let go of the candy. Ask them to set it down, or God forbid you ask them to share it, right? You could even offer them something better in exchange, like $20. They're like, heck no, I've got my candy, right? There's nothing you can do to get them to let go. The reality is we're not a whole lot different than the toddler. If you just replace the candy with money or food or cars or clothes or houses or status or jobs, it's really the same concept. So Jesus is opening this passage, telling us right out the gate, we are not here to just survive, but to live to the full, this life in his kingdom of heaven here on earth. So that's the opening. Now the next part, we're going to call provision in creation. Now this is where he really talks about how God provides for us. So this is verses 26 through 30. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how all the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" So, now we see Jesus turn to God's provision, and he uses a couple different examples to show us how God provides for what he creates. He talks about the birds of the air and how God has provided for them, and they don't have to worry about how they're going to get food the next day. Now, this is something I think about a lot, and it's because of something I see in my life a lot. Now, the name Gary Melvin might not mean anything to you, but in 1999, Gary Melvin was the CEO of Rural King. He was also the guy that had the idea to give away free popcorn to every shopper. Now, if you're a frequent shopper of Rural King, like I am, you might have already made the connection. But if not, every time you go to Rural King, you get a complimentary bag of popcorn, which means that the Rural King parking lot is the landing spot for all the birds in Muncie to come and pick up the popcorn that was dropped or thrown out. God gave Gary Melvin an idea that brings pleasure to the world in free popcorn. I wish he would have given this idea to the CEO of the movie theater, right? I don't know how Rural King's open, right? They're giving it away for free. But then the movies, it's like $28. That's a big difference. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So God gave Gary Melvin this idea that would provide the world in free popcorn, but it also provides provision for the birds of the air. Now, I think about this passage literally every time I shop at Rural King and see the birds eating the popcorn. Like, man, those birds didn't put that there. Gary Melvin did it, and God put this idea into his head, and now you've got all these birds provided for. I hope you'll think of that too next time you shop there. So I want us to notice something here as well. The birds of the air are an example for God's provision, but not for laziness, right? The birds of the air aren't worrying about what they'll eat, but they're also not just sitting in a tree wondering where the food is, right? They're working to go get it. They're dodging cars and dogs in the Rural King parking lot. They're working hard to get this food, but the food has been provided. Same with us. We also can't just sit back and do nothing and then complain that God didn't provide for us. God's provision includes being provided with an able body and ideas and knowledge. Does that make sense? Okay. So the next example that Jesus uses in this is flowers. And he uses it in comparison to what we're going to wear and our worry about what our clothes will be like. Again, he says the flowers don't just sit there and worry about their clothes and how they look. They just live in God's provision. N.T. Wright is a theologian, and he's got a quote that I really like about this passage. He says, "Birds and flowers live within the rhythm of God's creation. They receive without anxiety because they exist within his providence." So Jesus ends this section by saying, this is how God treats little birds and flowers that may not even last more than a season. Imagine how much more he's going to care for you. Now remember in Genesis, God's original plan was for us, humans, the best of his creation, to rule over the rest of it. And Jesus is saying, don't you think that if God's going to provide for little birds and flowers, that he's going to provide for the best of his creation as well? God's provision isn't about carelessness or just coasting because God's going to take care of it. It's about confidence. Confidence that the things that are out of our control are in control of the one who created us. So, the next section we're going to call Kingdom Priority. This is verses 31 through 33. Jesus follows what we just read by saying this. "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So this is the part where Jesus gives us the how. Right? He tells us, don't worry. And you're like, okay, right? That's probably the worst thing you could say to somebody that is worried. Yeah, just don't worry about it. This is the how. This is the part where Jesus says, this is how all of this works. And it works by us prioritizing God over material things. Even if we need them, he says, God knows you need these things. You still don't have to chase after them. If you chase after God, then all these things are going to be given to you as well. So he tells us to seek first, before food, water, shelter, or clothes, God's kingdom and his righteousness. So the first thing that this tells me is that provision, God's provision follows participation. Provision follows participation. To seek first means that we align ourselves with God's will. When we do that, we're trusting that as we pursue God and his purposes, he's going to meet our needs and provide for us. The late Dallas Willard said it this way: in the kingdom, things simply work because they are arranged around God. So the second thing that this tells me is that provision follows participation, but also that getting rid of worry doesn't happen with a formula. It happens with a relationship with God. The further into relationship we go and the more that we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first, the less we're going to worry about any of our needs or wants. Because our first thoughts of our day and the last thoughts of our day are aligned with God's heart. And worry is not something that is practiced in the kingdom of heaven. God isn't producing worry and fear. And so when we align ourselves, when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, worry starts to fade. In other words, if we make God's priorities our priorities, provision will flow out from his kingdom. But when we seek our needs and our wants first, then we get worry flowing out of our kingdom. Does that make sense? Okay. So, are you seeking God first? Before any solution to a problem, or before any means to an end, are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Now, Jesus gives us one more verse to end this, and it's verse 34. We're going to call this part Freedom for Today. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So again, we see a therefore. Jesus says, because of everything that I just told you, don't even think about tomorrow. Today is going to have enough trouble of its own. And I love this because it starts out almost dismissive, right? And now here comes the realism. He doesn't say, don't worry because you're never going to encounter trouble again. It'd be nice if that was the case, but that's not what he says. He says, today is going to be hard enough. Seek God first, and let's not even think about tomorrow yet. Now, why would Jesus say this? Does he not want us to plan for the future? I don't think so. I don't think that's it. In fact, if you read this sermon through, at the very end, he talks about this guy that builds his house on the rock so he can save himself from future storms. I think Jesus is okay with us preparing for the future. I think what Jesus is warning against here is us falling into the trap of worrying about something that hasn't even happened yet. Putting a scenario in our head and worrying about the what ifs. See, that's called anxiety. When we worry about tomorrow, we're not even giving God a chance to provide. We create an imaginary future in our minds where God's provision hasn't even arrived yet. But when we seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, that anchors us into today. And today is where God's grace and provision are active and sufficient. And guess what? When tomorrow comes, we seek God first, and then we can be anchored to that day where God's grace is and provision is sufficient. So Jesus' invitation in this passage is not to a life without need, but it's a life that's not driven by worry or fear. Another Dallas Willard quote as we close today: the life, or the with God life, is one in which anxiety becomes unnecessary because confidence in the Father becomes natural. The with God life is one in which anxiety becomes unnecessary because confidence in the Father becomes natural. If we're living that survival life, anxiety is necessary, right? When we're living the kingdom life, it becomes unnecessary because our confidence is in the one who provides for us. So when we live today in the provision of the Father, you move from anxiety to assurance. You move from scarcity to sufficiency. So I want to close with a few questions today. Where is worry stealing your peace? What areas of your life is worry taking your peace away? The second one is, what would it look like this week to seek first the kingdom in that area? Whatever it is that's got you flustered and worried and you can't stop, what if, and we have this thing coming up and it might be, what if we just sought the kingdom first in that area? What would it look like to do that this week? And then, in the vein of gratitude and praise, can you name a way that you've seen God's provision in your life recently? Can you remind yourself, yeah, God did provide for me. Why wouldn't he do it again? Our minds can go crazy worrying about everything that we cannot control. Let's start living into this blessing of provision that God has gifted us with. All of his creation, down to the birds and the flowers, but especially us. So let's seek God first and let all the blessings of provision fall into place. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for your provision. We thank you that we're not here to just survive. We thank you that we don't have to worry, that we can give our situation to you and know that it's provided for. God, the worst thing that can happen to us on this earth is that we die and get to meet you. Help us live in that confidence. Not carelessness, but confidence that you have everything under control. We're so thankful that you are God and that we are not. Help us to live that truth this week. Help us to be people that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And help us to live the life that you're calling us to. One that's motivated by the kingdom life and not by fear and worry and anxiety. God, we thank you for an avenue away from that sort of life. Help us to take it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our worship team is going to sing.